Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
Can anybody quote Philippians 4:13? Good. Did y'all hear that? Well, I did, and if you didn't, it's your fault. No. I can do, let's all say it together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, all things are a lot of things, right? A lot of things. That means all things. A-double-L, biggest word in the Bible. I can do all things, how? Through Christ who strengthens me. We've been talking about fruitfulness, and we're going to end that today. Fruitfulness is an all thing, right? And last week, I shared a little bit and actually kind of talked about something that I don't know that I've really talked about what I talked about last week in terms of kind of the cycle of life. But a lot of times as we grow in different seasons of our life, as we grow older, fruitfulness in terms of when you hear it talked about from a pulpit, we kind of sometimes relegate it to just spiritual things. You know, fruitfulness in maybe sharing our witness of Christ or whatever. But I just want to encourage us, and hopefully through these few weeks we've talked about it, that we've kind of broadened the definition of how in what areas that we can be fruitful. The answer is that in every area of life we can be fruitful. Why is that? Because here's the thing. Somebody may be a school teacher, somebody may be a secretary, somebody may be a farmer, somebody may be a businessman, somebody may be just an employee. It doesn't matter. Name the vocation that you're involved in. And our paradigm in life as a Christian needs to be, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, however you want to do it, but that's who I am, but I just happen to do whatever it may be in terms of a vocation, right? How many of you know our identity shouldn't be in what we do? It's in who we are. So for the Christian, our identity is I'm a believer. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. But I happen to be a, and then just add whatever it is that you may do. So in that realm, we're celebrating, in America here at least, Labor Day weekend. So in that area of our vocation, you know, we spend most of our waking hours doing something that we would call a vocation or a job. And if we do that well, if we're fruitful on that, how many of you know that brings glory to God? Isn't that right? I mean, that's something we really need to look at is, if I'm a fruitful employee, if I'm a fruitful employer, if I'm a fruitful teacher, if I'm a fruitful secretary, if I'm a fruitful stay-at-home mom, if I'm a fruitful father, if I'm a fruitful husband, that brings honor and glory to God, right? Have you ever driven by a farm that's just immaculate? What does it do to you when you see something like that? In the last week or so, I've driven around a little bit, and there's some farms that you drive by that you just look at and you just go, hats off to you, dude. I mean, that there's just, it's not that maybe there's no weeds, but whatever weeds there are, they're mowed. I mean, you just can look and there's, you know, there's no weeds growing up around their barn, or you just look at some stuff and you just go, wow. And it's interesting when some people drive by that, they'll look at that and it'll inspire them to maybe, I don't know about, sometimes it depresses me, but because it's like, ugh. But ultimately, you know, maybe the first reaction is, boy, but it always inspires me to go, you know what, whatever it is, you can do better. You can do better. Some people, well, their whole reaction's completely different. Well, if I had the kind of money they had, and, you know, if I had a tractor and if I had time all day to go out and mow my whatever, I could look like that too. I mean, you know, that person's not going to be fruitful in that area, right? It's easy for us as humans to always come up with excuses of why we're not fruitful, but hopefully in this study, I've wanted to inspire us to, you know what? You can't name an area of your life that God hasn't given us, won't help us to be more fruitful in wherever we are, whatever we're doing in life right now. Every marriage in this place right now, every marriage for anybody that's listening on television or online, every marriage can be better. We can be more fruitful, right? Every dad, every father that's listening, that's here, can be more fruitful in fatherhood. I'm talking about the totality of being a father. How many of you know being a The physical, the biological side of being a father is easy. But being then a father and father that person up to become a young man or a young woman, that's a whole different ballgame. We can be fruitful in that, right? Every one of it, I can be a better friend. I can be more fruitful in my friendships, in the relationships I have. Any area of life that you can think of, if you were to go to God and just ask Him, God, can I be more fruitful in that area? His response would be, you know what? You can, and I'll help you. So that scripture that we quoted, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to encourage you to apply that in the area of fruitfulness. We can come up and say, well, I'm just too old. No, doesn't matter. I look at a guy like the Apostle Paul, who came to Christ later in his life. The Apostle Paul ended up authoring 2/3 of the New Testament. And the reason the Christian church is alive in this place called North America can directly be attributed to the Apostle Paul. How many of you know he was fruitful? Amen. Okay, now, as soon as you say amen, I can also hear the average person say this. Well, yeah, well, he's the Apostle Paul, right? In fact, can I just go down a road for a little bit? Did you know when you query Christians about characters of the Bible, did you know the average Christian, after you get past the first whatever, can't relate to Jesus Christ? Do you know why? Well, he's the Son of God. Of course he was good. Right? Are you with me? But then you go to characters like the Apostle Paul, the disciples, John, James, Andrew, Peter, all of them. You go to that and they go, well, of course. Well, of course the Apostle Paul was fruitful. I mean, he's the Apostle Paul. And do you know where a lot of Christians have then relegated this book? This is just simply a religious version of a comic book filled with a bunch of superheroes that are not like us. I just want to encourage you. Much of the Christian world would never articulate it that way. But when it comes down to real life, when they think about an Apostle Paul that wrote all these different books in the New Testament, there's a checkout in their mind that goes, well, God had something special for him, but that's not me. But I want to encourage you. The Apostle Paul got up in the morning, just as tired as we are, and had to put his clothes on just the same way we do. The Apostle Paul had to fight the urge to not get into the Word, to not pray. Amen? The Apostle Paul had to stand against temptation just like you and I did. In fact, when you look at Christ, I'm going to just tell you something. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a hint. If you don't see Jesus as fully human, then you don't have anything that's called real salvation. Jesus burped. Are you with me? Okay. I said that to just kind of lighten you up a little bit because y'all are getting kind of tight in here. You need to loosen your anchors just a little bit. So when I made that statement, if you don't see Jesus as fully human, you have no salvation. That's really the truth. Jesus got frustrated with people just like you and I do. But he walked in love. Amen? Do you think Jesus ever wanted to bite somebody's head off? Sure. Do you think all 12 of the disciples, Jesus thought they were just all the greatest things since sliced bread? There was only 3 in the inner circle. You ever wondered why the other 9 weren't? Serious. It could be something as simple as he just didn't connect with them to the same depth that he did the others. You mean Jesus? Oh, wait a minute. He's no respecter of persons as God. But Jesus was tempted in all ways like we are. Everybody say all ways. All. A-double-L. All ways. Like tempted in all ways. Now you just think about that. All ways. Jesus stood in line at some shop where somebody couldn't get their, I was going to say getting their credit card didn't work, but couldn't get their money bag open. It was tied in a knot. Are you with me? Okay, Jesus got in the old version of a traffic jam, whatever that would be. Jesus was tempted sexually. Say that from the pulpit? Sure. He was tempted in all ways like we are. If you don't see the group of people that's in this as real people, then I'm going to tell you, this is really just a comic book that's in a religious deal, and it's just filled with superheroes that none of us can really relate to. Are you with me?
We've got to see these people, guys, in here. The Apostle Paul was just like you and I. He really was. Made a lot of mistakes in life. Didn't come to Christ till later on in his life. What, how do you know he made a lot of mistakes? Well, if you had people murdered, would you call that a mistake? I think so. Stop and think about some of the psychological baggage that Paul could have put upon him. Did you know there was many children that never ever got to watch their dad grow up because the Apostle Paul had them murdered? Because they were a Christian. Isn't that amazing? Do you think that would take some counseling with Dr. Phil to get that out of you? But you know what? The Apostle Paul said this. The Apostle Paul made an incredible statement. He said, I have wronged no man. Wow. Look it up in your Bible. Paul said, I've wronged no man. The CNN reporters could say he did. How many of you know that would send the ancient virgin of a Geraldo Rivera to go look up the children whose parents had died at the hands of the Apostle Paul? How could the Apostle Paul lie like that? According to a Geraldo Rivera type of a person. Right? We need to find ourselves. That's why the Christian finds their identity in Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul said, he's the one that penned the scripture. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? A new creature. Behold, all things are new. All the old things have been passed away. What an incredible thing. He went on into the next, in that same portion, 2 Corinthians 5:17, went on and said that he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Boy, I just want to encourage us, guys. When it comes to fruitfulness, I understand that you listen to me as your pastor stand up here and talk, and I know there's a whole group that look at that and they go, well, yeah, that's only because you're a pastor that you can, you know, talk about whatever, and yeah, you don't deal with what we deal with, and da da da, you don't deal with everyday life like we do. Don't believe stuff like that. Amen. I got up this morning, didn't want to come to church. Didn't get to sleep till like, last time I looked at the clock, it was like 4:15 in the morning. I woke up this morning just like, oh God, can I stay in bed? And I heard this voice, no, you're the pastor. I wanted to say, get behind me, Satan. But I knew that'd be a bad deal. So, 6:30 in the morning, got a couple hours sleep. Oh, so you know, all I'm just saying is, we all have to get dressed. We all have to do life. We all have struggles. We all have whatever. But you know what? We can all be fruitful. Every one of us, we can be fruitful. This is football season. Yeah, right. Some of you are excited and some of you breathe. Yeah. Well, regardless, I'm going to use a few football examples, but I'm just going to wrap this up in some points. So if you're taking notes, write out number one, choose. Choose, maybe / determine to be fruitful. One of the cool things that Jesus talked about in John chapter 15, he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and God the Father is the vine dresser. Now, let me just ask you a question. Do you think God's vineyard is kind of like that farm that's immaculate? I think so. In fact, I think God's vineyard stands out over all other vineyards. I think when you drive by God's vineyard is the most fruitful vineyard you'll ever see. Amen? And guess what? God's vineyard every year will produce more fruit all the time. Why? Because there's people within God's vineyard that choose and determine to be more fruitful. In fact, I was just thinking about this last night. One of the coolest things about being a human being is that I can choose to be pruned. And we talked about seeing that in a positive light. So we can go to God and say, God, I want to be more fruitful. God, can you help me in this area of my life to be more fruitful? How many of you know God's never going to be flat-footed in that? God's going to always say, yep, I can help you there. And then we can begin to with his help. And when I hear that scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It always brings a picture to my mind. If you have children, you've seen this with your child. You come up to a store And there's a door. And the door's got a pretty tough spring or a hydraulic mechanism on it to where, you know, wind can't flop it open. And so your little boy, I'll use a story of a little boy. Your little boy is pushing on that door and he can push and he can open a little bit, but boy, his strength just can't quite get it open, right? And dad usually says, come on, push, come on, push, come on, you can do it. But what kid doesn't realize is dad just over the top of his head just takes that door and begins to put a little pressure on it, right? And boy, what does it do to that little kid? Dude, he just grows. He just thinks he's strong as all get out. Because dad, what's dad doing? Come on, push a little. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Dad pushes that door and the door opens and you walk through and turn to little kid and say, good job. And what does little Johnny do? Or little Carson? What does he do? Like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Aren't you glad that we have a Heavenly Father that reaches over our head? How many of you know most of life is over our head, right? He reaches over our head with His strong arm of help, and He just pushes on that door all along, though. How many of you know what God is saying? Come on, push, 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 push. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Pray. You can do it. Come on, spend time with me. You can do it. Yeah, yeah, apply that. Yeah, you can do it. And then we get through that deal, and what does it do to us? When you experience victory, what does it do to you? You feel like you can have another victory. In fact, you can recreate victory. We need to choose or determine to keep trying if we're going to be fruitful in life. The Apostle Paul prayed for the Colossian church that they would be fruitful. Emmett Smith, I queried the first crowd. Emmett Smith is the leading all-time rusher in the NFL. Did he play? What team did he play for, all you Texans? Yeah. Dallas, yeah, they did have a team, didn't they? Years ago. No. Emmett Smith, who's 5'9" in here? Stand up if you're 5'9". Okay, stand out. Come on, Barry. Come up just a turn around and look at that little guy right there. Jim, Jim, stand up beside him. Now, Jim Meeks played professional football. All right, Emmett Smith's 5'9". How much do you weigh, Barry? Oh boy. All right. Emmett Smith was a little bit bigger than that. Emmett Smith was 5'9", played most of his pro career weighing 202 pounds. Ran for 10.4 miles, 18,500 and something yards. We figured it up between services. Jeff Sweet and Gary and I figured up. Every time he averaged 4.2 yards every time he carried the ball. During that 4.2 yards, every average, that was $17,549 every time he held the ball. We added up all of his career earnings. We didn't add up his endorsements or anything like that. We added up his, I think he was 12 seasons as professional football player. That works out to $1,359 a foot. Now, would you guys stand up again? Barry, would you stand up again? And Jim, would you stand up again? All right, come up here. Would you please? I know you, sorry. Come up here. We're going to find out how big you really are, Jim. No. The average NFL football player, when Emmett Smith played, linebacker, weighed 247 pounds. Jim probably weighs close to that. Okay? Now, Jim, you stay right there, Jim. Come up here, Barry. Barry's 5'9". This is exactly how tall Emmett Smith was. And this stage right here is within a foot or so of the average time he carried the ball, 4.2 yards. So this guy right here, 5'9", would run as fast as he could and hit Bubba over here. And Bubba over here would hit him and knock him flat. But Bubba would bring his other friends, Bubba. And they'd all pile on top of him. And while they're down on the ground, there's some dirty stuff that goes on when they're on the ground. Right? Elbows.
I heard that.
You heard? Cool, you guys can go. Elbows, get up and drive their football helmet into the ground and while they're on the ground. Hey, when you got all these bubbles on top of some little guy like that underneath them, you can do a whole lot that the referee can't see. Now, I grant you, $1,359 per foot would be pretty good motivation to get up again, or $17,500 to go that far. Would be pretty good motivation. But how many of you know, day in and day out, he still had to do it. Now, we figured this fictitious town because we couldn't figure it out. There's not a town around. So the town of Bueller. That's right between Filer and Buell. Y'all know where that is, right? Bueller. So just picture from here, running as fast as you can. Fast as you can. You're giving it everything you got. Get this far and get hammered by guys like Jim. Hammer you to the ground. Get up and do that from here to Bueller. It's determination. Do you think there was ever a day that he thought, you know what? This is like practicing bleeding. Who needs this? I bet. Walter Payton was the second. He's the second guy on the list. He ran for only a little over 9 miles. He was 5'10", weighed about 212 pounds or 220 pounds. So we got to choose. We got to determine. Secondly, we got to increase our skill asset in whatever area of life that we want to be fruitful. You mean God's just not going to make me fruitful? Nope. Because we're different than a tree. Tree has no choice when it gets pruned. We do. In fact, we have a choice of whether or not we're even going to be fruitful. How do you know that? I can disobey. Can you? I can look at Scripture and go, you know what? I don't want to do that. I'm just not going to. I can disobey. But if I want to be fruitful, I got to obey. If I want to be fruitful, I've got to submit to the vine dresser's pruning shears. I've got to submit to his, and here's the cool thing. It's all positive. It's all good because we want to be fruitful. Who wants to just squirt out a peach every once in a while? I want a whole tree full of them. Amen? Really? Who wants to just also ran? I don't want to be an also ran. I don't want to get the white ribbon that also showed up. Are you with me? I want to be fruitful. But if I want to be fruitful, I've got to increase my skill asset. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, I wish my employer would give me a raise. I haven't had a raise for quite a while. Okay, well, cool. Do you want to be fruitful on your job? Yeah. And they got a little tightwad for a boss. Well, okay, well, listen, look at you. We can't change him, but we can change you. So what have you done over the last 12 months that's made you a better employee? Well, he doesn't pay me enough. Okay, cool. Great. I hear your argument. But what have you done to make yourself a better employee so that you can be fruitful as an employee? Well, what do you mean? Well, have you read a book about your area? I don't have enough time to do that. I mean, I work all day and it doesn't pay me enough. You know, got to get out and go fishing. You know, whatever. Okay, cool, whatever. But you're complaining that you're not fruitful on your job, but you're telling me that you haven't increased your skill asset. You haven't made yourself a better asset to your employer. Well, he ain't paying me to do that. Oh, but wait a minute. He's paying you to do a job, and I can guarantee you, if your employer has any brains at all, and mine doesn't, okay, then find a new job. And just go show that other employer that's smart. Show them how great you really are. And if you're not in that spot, maybe increase your skill asset, and you might find that your employer might look at you and go, you know what? He's more valuable to me now. Well, that woman I live with, she's like living with an old cantankerous hen. These are words that aren't in my vocabulary, so they're just coming free will. Well, that husband I live with, he's just an old cantankerous old toot. Okay. Great. All right. Cool. You can't change them. But have you read a book? Have you gone to a seminar? Have you gone online? Have you done anything to be a better husband? Well, I work hard. Great. Have you worked hard at being a better husband? Have you read a book about being a better wife? Have you read a chapter in the Bible about being a Proverbs 31 lady? Well, no. Okay, if we want to be fruitful as a better husband or a better wife, how many of you know we need to increase our skill? Essence being this, a lot of people think when it comes to marriage, once you got them, you got them. That's a trap. And that's a lie. Every one of us in here can be better at it, right? Well, my kids just don't like, okay, what are you doing to be a better parent? Well, my mom and dad are just like, okay, what are you doing to be a better child? Well, they brought me into this world I didn't. Okay, that doesn't mean that you can't be better. More fruitful. Are you with me? Yeah, you ready for me to go on? Increase your skill. Another football deal. When Lou Holtz was the coach for Notre Dame, right? Now he's a commentator on ESPN. He had a quarterback years ago that was celebrated when he came out of high school. So they signed him, started playing, and realized that he wasn't that good. Under pressure, he really wasn't that good. He had a good arm, but he just didn't have an accurate arm. And to quarterback D1, you're going to have to get better at that. The rest of the coaching staff just really had a tough time with Lou Holtz, and they went, this guy ain't that great. First season was pretty dismal. Coach didn't tell anybody, but the guy, the quarterback himself, he said, you know what? Here's a dartboard, and I want you to throw darts every day. Every day. Son, if you're going to play D1, you're going to need to get better. And I want you to throw darts every day. Quarterback's like, okay, coach. Didn't know why. Didn't have any tie at all. But Lou Holtz knows the game. Guy came back the next year, his sophomore year, blew him out of the water, all the coaching staff. What in the world happened to this kid during the summer? To which Lou Holtz looked at the quarterback and winked, and, we just worked on a few things. To become fruitful as a quarterback, he had to increase his skill at becoming a better passer. And when he did it, guess what? Better game. Better player. Third, this could be said in every topic that anybody could ever talk about. We got to renew our mind to what the Word says. Amen? How many of you know the Word sees us that we can be fruitful? Amen? We talked last week in Psalms 92. We talked about kind of the cycle of life. I'd never really talked about stuff like that before, but you know, this is kind of the cycle of life. We're born, we get up here to our kind of our peak in life, what maybe people call their prime, and then kind of things start trailing off. You know, that's okay in the natural world. That's okay maybe in especially the area of your labor and vocation and all that sort of stuff. But how many of you know for the Christian, that sort of a deal does not work? For the Christian, it's this. We grow from what? Glory to glory. Okay, there comes a time in retirement, there comes a time in our life that we really can switch gears from the day-to-day grind of whatever it may be. That's cool. But how many of you know that for a Christian, we still become fruitful? We read in Psalms 92, says that you in old age, we'll still be bearing fruit. And that's not just talking about squirting out a peach here and there. That's talking about having a fruitful life. Things change, but we can still be fruitful. Amen? So we got to renew our mind to realize that that's the will of God. And if we're going to have a can-do spirit about our lives to be fruitful, we got to change our mind and get it agreeing with the Word of God. Four, we need to surround ourselves with fruitful people. Maybe you know that inner circle of friends in our life, that group of people. If you were to drop a rock in water, Christ would be the center. But then there's concentric circles that go out from there, right? Hey, not everybody you meet is going to be in those first couple circles of your life. That's understandable. But that group that is there, for Christ, it was who?
He didn't have an inner circle. He was the Son of God.
He was fully human. He did have an inner circle. Amen? James, Peter, and John. Okay? That inner circle of people in your life, those first two concentric rings, I don't know if it's two or three or whatever, but you know what I'm saying. That group that's around you, your family, your close friends. Make sure that those other relationships in your life are winners, is what the business world would say, but are fruitful people. Get around people that believe you can instead of just finding every way you can't. Amen? Get around people that aren't satisfied with the white ribbon that also showed up. Or stay away from people that do just enough to just get by. Because they're not going to propel you and help you be fruitful in life. Amen? Let's get around people that want to be fruitful as well. And then let's let iron sharpen iron and see how fruitful we can become. And the last one is just simple. It's probably the guiding principle of my life. Just don't ever give up. Amen? Hey, it's okay to get knocked down. It's not okay to stay down. But it's your choice. I want to have a bumper crop of fruitfulness in my life year after year. Well, I'm tired of producing fruit. Then let's get renewed. Let's do something. Let's do something to change that. But I want to produce more fruit next year, and then next year, and then next year. I had somebody ask me once. They kind of, you know, sometimes people will ask you a question, but they're really just trying to give their agenda, right? Why is it, Pastor, this is about 6 years ago, Why is it, Pastor, that you just keep always pressing for more? Are you never satisfied? I said, well, you know, if you're asking me if I'm satisfied in who God is, well, absolutely. But no, I'm not satisfied. It's not that I'm dissatisfied to a point of negativism, but I want to keep striving. Amen. Don't you ever just want to, I want to rest. I'll never forget. I was talking to my sister one day, Dixie, and she retired here a few years ago. I was talking to her one day and I said, Dix, how you doing? And she said, oh, I'm just sitting around thinking for something to do. And I said, do you know how much money I would pay to be able to say that? I said, I can't. I said, seriously, you're just sitting around thinking of something to do? I said, I can't relate to that at all. I said, you know, probably the thing I think about is, man, what could I not have to do? But let's never give up. Listen, as long as we're breathing, there's life in us and there's hope. There's ability to change. Oh, I know it may be tougher to change old habits and behaviors or whatever, but you know what? We serve an incredibly big God. And we can change, even when we're old. Amen? All right, let's bow our head and close our eyes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Shaw of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.